Encouragements in Serving God is the title as we begin chapter 18 of our study of the Acts of the Apostles. We are considering the first 17 verses. Our Lord, when He gave His commandment, His first commandment to the church, after His resurrection from the dead and before His ascension to heaven, gave these words of instruction to His disciples who were gathered together. He says in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. And as we consider and review the Great Commission that our Lord left to His church, we observed how Christ promised His availing power to His people as they endeavor to fulfill God's redemption plan upon earth. And also, we are reminded of Christ's witnessing plan. What did He tell us to do? To go, to teach, to baptize, and to help them to mature in the faith. And Christ promised His abiding presence, and He gave to us His assuring promise of His help to His people. And we see this permeating throughout the book of the Acts of the Apostles, beginning with our Lord's very words to His disciples before His ascension. And He tells us in varying details. He says in Acts 1:8, when we begin the book, you recall, He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." This dynamite power, an explosive power of the Spirit of God that will come upon you, that would energize you and would change your life as a witness for the Lord. "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." The Bible character in Acts 18 is the Apostle Paul. And he's on his second missionary journey. And you know, in a person's life, there are certain periods of usefulness for the Lord. When we were studying the life of Moses, we saw that it was the last 40 years of his life. How he had to spend 40 years in the desert until he was 80 years old before he was used of the Lord. For the Apostle Paul, he was converted on the road to Damascus. God turned him around. He was a persecutor of the church, and God made him a champion. And here we see the most useful part of the apostle's life. How every city that he goes to, God would cause men and women to be saved when the gospel is being preached. And for the first time, you see the gospel entering Europe. And city after city, you see He did exploits for the Lord. How wonderful it is. This was the height of the Apostle Paul's usefulness for the Lord. This second missionary journey, as we said, 5,000 kilometers, 2.5 to 3 years, where he suffered the most. We have seen how he was thrown into prison, how he was whipped, 39 stripes, how he was stoned, capital punishment, how to survive stoning. Imagine men, you know, taking a stone and throwing at you with all their might, and he surviving that. This was the thick of the battle, thick of the gospel inroad into Europe. And God, by this man, Paul, together with others, Silas, Timothy, and the writer Luke, show us what they would do. And here we see God bringing them, as our story unfolds itself, at the city of Corinth. You see the epistles of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, one of the most lengthy epistles, because God established a church there, or outreaches there in the city of Corinth during that time. And this is the story that is brought before us. What was the city of Corinth like? It was a great city west of Greece and second only to Athens. You remember we were at Athens last week, and we spoke about the idolatrous nature of that city, how there was temples that were everywhere, every other building is designated for worship of some god. And Paul, when he was there, showed to them, declared to them the unknown God. You remember? Last week we saw that. Well, Athens was a center of culture, but Corinth was a center of commerce. It was a center of wealth. It is also a center of wickedness, because it was a great commercial city. Many Jews were there, and Paul was led by the Spirit of God to go to Corinth. And he had to travel west since the time he received the vision. You remember he received the Macedonian call, right? When he was at Troas, he had a vision of a man saying, come over to help us. And there he crossed into modern-day Europe. That's how the gospel came, and from there to us years later. And we saw how he went from Philippi to south to Thessalonica, you remember our story, and to Berea, and then to Athens. Last week we saw. What was Corinth like? Well, it was a city renowned for its immorality. If there is a city that is more corrupt, Corinth is that city. And it's associated with the cult that is called the Aphrodite. And historians tell us that there was a temple there where it owned thousands 1,000 prostitutes dedicated to the goddess. And because of this woman, the city was crowded with people and grew rich, right, in a bad way. Right. And the sea captains, you know, it's a seaport. So many ships would come. It's a place, city of commerce, right, where goods are exchanged. And there, you see, it is reported how the captains freely squandered their money. And there is that proverb that says, not for every man is the voyage to Corinth. Because you can get shipwrecked there, in that place of immorality. And there are two thoughts which we want to think about as we see Paul coming to this city, as we consider, you know, this man of God going to a new place of witnessing for the Lord. How did God encourage his heart to carry on the work? You know, day by day, as you serve the Lord, right, you find that it's a journey of faith. You need to be aware and know the higher mission, the calling that God has for you in your heart daily to persevere in this life as a Christian. And there are two thoughts that we want to see: how God encouraged this group of missionaries to continue with the Lord. God sent needful help, is our first thought from verses 1 to 8. And God sent needful assurance, verses 9 to 17. To do the work, you find that you will need resources, you will need people, you will need various circumstances to all come together, right place, right time, right people. And this is the life of the Christian. You see, nothing happens by chance, but God guides, plans your life, and as you walk with Him, you experience His presence for you, with you. And so this first thought that we want to think about, God sent needful help. You become a Christian, and you are walking with God, and you are asking yourself, how do I carry on? You see here in our text, what did God do for the Apostle Paul? Right? Verse 1 of our text says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And what happened there in Corinth? He found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who has come from Italy together with his wife Priscilla. Because there was some persecution that was taking place in Italy, in Rome, so that all Jews were extradited. So they came. It was the right time. And verse 3 tells us that they were of the same craft. And so Paul was with this couple. God brought Paul to be acquainted, to get to know this couple as he began this new ministry in a new territory. He made friends with Aquila and his wife Priscilla. And our text tells us that they were tent makers. And tent making is also the acquired skill of the Apostle Paul. And and you see that it will play a great part in his life of service for the Lord. Now, what is tent making? During those time, tent making involves working with leather. Leather, so that this primary material would be used to make places of lodging for people. Tents were needed at that time for many travelers staying in the city. And sailors who come usually live in tents while their boats were docked. And so these tents were useful. And so it is a way in which you can make a living, as it were. So this was the craft that the Apostle Paul was good at, that he picked up, right? And he and you notice also that because these tents that are used also can be worn out. Okay, so the work for them is to repair the tents, these worn out tents, the broken tents. So this was what God did to sustain the Apostle Paul in the ministry when he began his gospel work in the city of Corinth. And you would see that he would be spending the next 1.5 years there before he would leave for another city, the city of Ephesus. And there, Paul developed a friendship, a close friendship and a lifelong partnership in the gospel. You see, God brings people our way. And sometimes you cannot understand how, God arranged all things in our lives. And when we are in the way of the Lord, right, the Lord helps us. The Apostle Paul was doing the Lord's business. And so here you see how he experienced the availing power of God, the encouragement to speed him along with the gospel work that is entrusted to him. And you get to know Priscilla and Aquila. And that's where they begin this work, where he would work in the weekday. Then when the Sabbath come, he would be there in the synagogue reasoning with the people. And it was no accident that the Roman Emperor Claudius, which we see in our text, actually took the radical step of ordering every Jew to leave Rome immediately. Right? For the Jews, it was not new. They experienced such persecution before when Tiberius was emperor 20 years ago. And we would see historians have recorded how there were significant ethnic tensions between Jews and Gentiles, not only in Rome, in Alexandria, in other cities. And the first year of his reign in AD 41, Claudius looked on the Jews with suspicion. And 8 years later, AD 49, Claudius was no longer tolerant and he decided to rid the city of the Jews altogether. And because of that extradition of the Jews from Rome, you see Aquila and Priscilla coming to the city of Corinth. And there they met the Apostle Paul. And we learn from our text that they were mature Christians, how they expounded to Apollo, the eloquent preacher from Ephesus. Right? We are told how he was so mighty in scripture, fervent in spirit, how they were able to show him the way of God more perfectly. And how, you know, it's no accident that Priscilla and Aquila were traveling to Corinth from Italy. And when the Jews were asked to depart from Rome, they were God's appointed instruments for the advancement of the kingdom of God. And Paul's helpers to help him at that time to settle down so that the gospel work in Corinth may begin. So you see that the man with the mandate also would be equipped with the means to do the work. That's how good our God is. He does not leave us without the means after giving us the mandate to the work. And this is what we see here. God did not promise the bed of roses in the ministry, in the Christian life. When we become a Christian, God did not promise us, you know, that life would be smooth, life would be good. In fact, the Apostle Paul was told when he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ that his life will be a life of suffering. But in that suffering, through the difficulties of it all, he would experience the presence, the glory, the peace and the joy of walking with God. And so we see here in the company of Aquila and Priscilla, Paul is able, by his work as a tent maker, to have the material means to sustain his gospel endeavor. These were the initial times, right? And it was no accident that Paul would make his home in this busy commercial city as a tent maker. And in 1 Corinthians 16, he sent greetings when he wrote again later on to the church that was already established there in Corinth. He says in verse 19, "The churches of Asia salute you, Aquila and Priscilla. Salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house." So there was a church that was established by this couple, people who loved the Lord, and God brought them together. And sometimes you cannot understand how God arranges all these things. And you just marvel at the way God, we said, orchestrate these events of life for us. And it's amazing. And it's also very a happy journey. So Paul, when he wrote the book of Romans, when they returned to Rome, he says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, and to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." So God did not just send him mere acquaintance, but God sent the Apostle Paul friends, true friends, friends who are willing to be a friend in adversity, who will stick with you during the time, your difficult time, to be with you, to encourage you, to help you. And it's so happy, isn't it, when we read this text, we see that God did not left him without the means, without the help needful to do the work. And so Paul worked with them day by day, and during the weekday he would work, and in the Sabbath he would preach in the synagogue. He stayed for 18 months in Corinth until Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia with reports of the progress of the work in Thessalonica and how, you know, the gospel team was reinforced with greater resources. You see that this work of the gospel, this life with Christ, is not a journey that we live by alone. But the presence of God is with you to help you, to bless you, to show you the way as you grow in grace in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as you grow in Christ-likeness. God shows you. God is with you. And so, you remember in verse 14 and 15 of chapter 17, how the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, and Silas and Timothy abode, and there still, our text says, and they that conducted Paul brought him to Athens. So, you know, last week we saw how he arrived at Athens. The persecution was great. They were targeting Paul. They want his life. And so he had to run. And he was preempted in the sense that, you know, they told him, your life is going to be in danger, so please escape. God provide an escape route for him. And in all the escape and all the work that he did, there were further accomplishments that God caused him to have. In verse 7, if you were to look at his writing later on in 2 Corinthians 11, he says, "Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely?" Remember, when he was there, he was a tent maker. He did not receive anything from the people of Corinth when he preached the gospel to them. He didn't want them to have the mistaken notion that, you know, he was there for any gain. And so he worked with his hands. The people saw that the work of the gospel was real. There was no ulterior motive. He was there purely to preach the gospel. And he said, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Remember, the church in Philippi sent help to the Apostle Paul to relieve him later. And that's how he, you know, stopped the work of tent making and continue with the preaching of the gospel in Corinth, in the city of Corinth. And he says, "When I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man for that which was lacking to me. The brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself." What are we saying here? We are saying here that God provided for his needs, you see. God took care of him. How? Cannot explain. But you know that as a child of God, you have committed your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will take care of you. His Spirit in you, and you become a child of God. You are very precious in the sight of God. Christ died for you. And therefore, his power will continue to abide with you, to sustain you, to keep you through life's journey. And this is the promise that is given here as we consider the encouragements in serving God, in carry on, in going on this Christian life. And he he wrote, he says in Philippians 4:15, speaking to the church in Corinth, he says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, and ye only." How these people in Philippi were so attuned to the needs of God's servant, and God used them to be an instrument, a channel of blessing. And we all know that the people in Philippi, they were not people with means and wealth, but they were humble men and women who understood the meaning of the gospel work and had a burden to do something for the Lord. And so you see here, when he does the work, he was not alone. He could see the Lord with him, helping him. So he preached the gospel every Sabbath at the synagogue. And the Jews and the Greeks, you see, as he reasoned with them, as he persuaded them, and he spent time to show them the better way, you see men and women converted. What a happy, what rejoicing it is, right, to see men and women turn from idols to serve the living God. Remember, the city in Corinth was most idolatrous, most immoral. But God worked a powerful work through His Spirit to convert men and women. And so this is what we see. And our text tells us God opened the heart of Crispus in verse 5. Verse 5 of our text tells us, "And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ." And verse 7 tells us that there was this man, Justus, who was saved. How he was a next door neighbor to the synagogue. His house was just beside the synagogue. They share the same wall. Okay? And Paul preached in the synagogue and they rejected him. And what did he do? Well, he went to the neighbor, preached to the neighbor. And what happened there? Well, the man, Crispus, was saved. You see, God had have his chosen ones, you see. He thought he would offer the gospel to his own people first. Why? Because, well, these are the people who, with the Old Testament scriptures, nearer understanding who that Christ is. And he offered them first, but when they rejected, what did he do? Well, he went next door. And you see how the man Crispus was saved. So God sent needful help. And the second part, 9 to 17, God sent needful assurance. Verse 9, he says, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, 'Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city.'" Remember, God said the same thing to Joshua When God gave him the order to enter the promised land, God said in Joshua 1 verse 5, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage." We need a lot of encouragements to walk as a Christian. This life of faith in God. And God sent the needful encouragement to us so that we know that we are not alone. You have friends around you who care about you, who would come to you. And in those moments of loneliness, you find that you're not alone. And the Lord not only sent friends, but God sent His own presence. The Lord spoke to him personally. You realize that how great a privilege we have when we serve God. God speaks to us personally. You know, as you spend time with the Lord, in His Word, in your quiet time, the Lord will show you, reveal to you what He wants you to do. And this was what Paul understood. Christ instructed him in a vision to stay on and preach. See, at the needful time, when you feel most discouraged, you want to throw in the towel. You said, tough. Cannot. The Lord sent assurance to encourage Paul to press on with the work. What did Jesus say? "I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee." Remember when Joshua was asked to enter the promised land? What was the first thing God did for them? God parted the Jordan River. Right, they went ahead and God gave them, through the captain of the Lord of hosts, who appeared to him, right? Christ came to Joshua and showed him the blueprint to take down the city of Jericho. So God was there with him, and there he continued a year and 6 months, as we said. The Lord was there with him. God uses the promises of His Word to assure us of His abiding presence and assuring presence with us. Do you experience this in your life? We ought to. The presence of God with us. As we draw near to Him, through our quiet time, as we read the Scriptures, as we pray, well, we receive assurance. And it's so comforting, isn't it? It strengthened his heart. And he stayed there for the next 18 months. The church in Corinth, in those times, had their first converts. That was how the work began. In 1 Corinthians 1, Paul said, "I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius." Crispus is the man next door. Came to know God. He was quite discouraged speaking to the Jews. You know, they rejected him. They said they don't want. And what do? Well, God has His once, the men, the people whom he had chosen to go to heaven. And there they went. He shook off the dust off his feet and went next door. And so he says that there were these families which were saved. And in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15, he says, "I beseech you, brethren, ye know of the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, for they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." Oh, you see, men and women who were changed, saved, become encouragements to the apostle, to his people. So happy. And then there is that man called Sosthenes, who was also saved. Right? Paul mentioned him. We see how Paul was prepared. He was prepared to suffer for the gospel's sake. He had to count the cost. Right? But what did Jesus assure him when he was there? Jesus said to him that he will be with him. Right, verse 12. And when Gallio was deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. This fellow persuaded men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was down about to open his mouth, Gallio spoke unto the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would I that I bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, ye look to it." So the case was brought by those who were unhappy with the work to the local authorities. And what did the local authorities do? They threw out the case. You have no case. You solved your own matter. So Paul was helped, you see. You remember when he was in the other city? He was imprisoned, he was bitten. Then what did God do? God sent an earthquake, right? Then he was freed. And God saved the jailer in Philippi. And then what did God do? God asked. He did not leave the prison, you know. He said to the prison keeper, "You bring the magistrate to come. I'm a Roman citizen. You have imprisoned me wrongly." And so the magistrate had to come, had to apologize, and then usher him out of the jail. You see how wonderful our God is as we serve Him. You know that His presence will be with you to help you. And we are encouraged. When we serve God, we must be assured of God's presence with us. And this comes with cultivating a life of drawing near to God. You know, not in the thick of the battle that you begin to draw near to God, but in your everyday life, you draw near to God. You experience the grace of God. Every time you have anything that you need help, you call out to God. You experience the faithfulness of God, answering your prayer. And then you become stronger in your faith. And God would use you more and more daily as you spend time with Him, as you walk with Him. Paul gave this encouragement to Timothy as we close in 2 Timothy 3, 10 to 14. He said to Timothy at the end of his gospel journey, he says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, faith, purpose, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came upon me, unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Don't think that, you know, you want to serve God, life will be easy. No, life will be very tough. You are at your edge all the time. But in those times, you will find that you will draw very close to the Lord. You will be praying all the time, unceasingly, for the presence of God, for the help of God. And what did he say to Timothy? "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. God's power and purpose and promise will continue to prevail. May we be encouraged to press on in our service for Him. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we ask that Thou be gracious to encourage Thy people who may be waning in their service for Thee due to many difficulties that arise. Lord, we pray that Thou would send encouragements their way. And we thank Thee for this text to show us that we are not alone, that Thou art with us, that Thou would send friends, Thou would send Thy very presence to help us so that we will accomplish Thy purpose for Thy own honor and glory. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.